October 14th, the young adult meeting. Going to be an opportunity for you to invite some friends from other churches and wherever you might do your business. Details to follow, not today. John chapter 10. If you'll bear with me, can I preach to myself today? So if I get a little out of hand or snarly, I'm just preaching to me. Is that okay? All right, you said so. Bill Dare gave me permission. I think I better pray after that. Father, we sure do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can be in your assembly today with your people. And Lord, just no better place. Someone texted me this morning, said, I forgot it was Sunday morning. Doesn't know you, I'm glad I know you this morning. I'm glad I know where your people are on Sunday morning, first day of the week. Thank you, Lord. It's been millenniums, but we don't forget today. We remember. Bless your word to our hearts. Challenge us in, Lord, what may be perhaps the most underrated sin that we would ever come across. Help me to convey it, Lord. I got to compete with Instagram and Facebook and all the social stuff that we, movies and all that we indulge in all week long. And Lord, only you can compete with that. So I pray you would in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And then in verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. And that's what we gave you last week. That was doors number one. This is doors number two today. I never really studied biblical doors before. I certainly have heard a lot of message on Jesus being the door, but nothing that I can recall on someone going through and look at Bible doors. I found 239 doors in the Bible. Now, remember our definition from last week by way of review. It's an opening. A door is an opening or a passage into a house or other building. Our modern terminology, we would call that a doorway. We call a door that thing that hangs on the hinges, which is another definition, but not the first definition. The passageway is the door. A second definition is that thing that turns on the hinges to keep things in or out. Interesting, Webster's 1828 fourth definition means of approach or access. A means of approach or access. An unforgiving temper shuts the door against reconciliation. Hey, man, did you get that job? No, the door was shut. Hey, did you get that opportunity? We'll talk about doors of opportunity someday. So the definition of door is very broad, and thus the doors in the Bible are very, very broad. There's a whole bunch of them, and I don't know how far we'll go with this. But let's see what we can learn, because some of the doors in the Bible swing on a hinge. Some allow passage. Some are body parts. The one in John 10 is a person. Some swing one way, some swing both ways. Some doors are in this world, and some doors are out of this world. So let's take a fun dive into the Word of God and just, as the preacher downtown used to say, sit in the tub of God and soak for a little while and see if we can't get some help. Let's turn to Micah chapter 7. You know the last four books, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. And before that is Habakkuk. And once you get before Habakkuk, you'll be in there finding Micah. Of course, I stuck my little ribbon in there so I didn't look like a fool up here to preacher not being able to find it. I want to give you the context of Micah. Jack Hiles used to say, if you haven't found it by now, just stop where you are and pretend you got it. And you guys with it on your phone, you're cheating. Amen. In Micah chapter 7, the context is the persecutors are hunting for God's people. Jesus would reference the passage when he said the children shall rise up against the parents against the children, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, etc. But look at Micah chapter, and what the prophet is saying here, you better not tell nobody what you got going on Because they could very well be your adversary. They could be the ones turning you in to the persecutors. Look at Micah chapter 7 in verse 5. In verse 5, trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep watch it. The doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Door number one, the doors of thy mouth. We're going to see, you go through the Bible, there's sort of a satanic trinity. The mouth, the lips, and the tongue. And they work together. They're always in tandem in the Bible. And the best I can discern, and I'll show it to you in a minute, that the doors of the mouth are one's lips. The doors of the mouth are one's lips, and we'll get to that. I'll show you, but I got thinking about a trend today that you didn't see up to 10 years ago, maybe. And it's lip jobs. They take that stuff and they inject it in your lips to give you bigger lips. Somebody said bigger lip. Now listen, come on. Now some need a little plumping up. But sometimes it looks ridiculous. You know, Hollywood's always on the cutting. I mean, it's one thing, nice stuff, but you got some of the, they don't turn them right inside out. It's like the inside is on the outside now. And it looks crazy. But I got thinking about the Bible and how that relates to the last days. Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 4. Watch this here. Isaiah chapter 4. We'll just have a little fun before we get started. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, and in that day, that's the bad day, that's probably the end day. Seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now, if you saw seven women taking a hold of one man and talking like that, we would, I guess, traditionally call them, I don't know if you could say this anymore, a big mouth. She's a big, would you agree? A big mouth. She's a big mouth. Let us wear our own apparel. We'll eat our own bread. We don't need you to provide. Big mouth. And I got thinking about, if the lips, Amy, are the door to the mouth, and in the last days, they're plumping up their lips, must be because the doors that originally came aren't big enough to keep that thing in there closed. Just saying. You'll get it after a while. So why does our mouth need a door? When you think about the other orifices, the holes in your head that may qualify as doors, passageways, your ears, your nose, they don't have the second part of the definition, a gate, if you will. The thing that turns on the hinges, if you will. These passages are always open. This one, by design, is not. For some reason, our mouths need doors. And the reason is that there's a member in there that we'll get to that is a very dangerous member likened to a beast that needs to be locked up. I think, of course, I've had a lot of opportunity to meditate on this. I think tongue sin is the most underestimated, underrated, overlooked, ignored sin that we got going, especially in conservative Baptist circles. It seems that sometimes it's worse with them. Now, that's what I'm around most, so maybe it isn't. It seems like the more separated and the more conservative and the more holy one claims to be, sometimes the worse it is. Now, I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because we can't do the big stuff. Or maybe it's we view it wrong. Maybe it is big stuff.
The fact is, most of us wouldn't dream of walking in a bar this afternoon. Most of us wouldn't consume alcohol. Many here would not wear apparel that pertains to the other gender. We wouldn't go to a rock concert unless we were preaching there, most of us. But when it comes to the tongue, I'm not sure our standards line up with the God of the Bible. See, we say we don't rank sin. We don't rank sin like those Catholics do. You know, one sin, all sin. Whosoever keep the whole law and depend on one point, he's guilty of all. We don't have mortal sins and yellow sins and venial sins and black sins. If you didn't come out of that church, you don't know what that is, but it doesn't matter. Or do we rank them? I've never heard someone stand up at an RU meeting and say, "My name is Joe Cam. I'm a recovering whisperer." You know why you won't hear it? Because most don't recover. "I'm a recovering gossip. I'm a recovering backbiter." Romans chapter 1. Oh, come on, preacher. We don't rank sin. I'm not sure, sir, we don't. Romans chapter 1. Let's see what God says. I'm preaching to myself now, so don't get angry. Romans chapter 1. Now, you know, I don't have to give you the context of Romans chapter 1. These are like the bad sinners, right? We know that. "Gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. Likewise, the women burn their lusts." You know that, right? These are the bad people. Verse 30. Let's go 29. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy." Oh, what's that doing in there? "Murder, debate." You don't debate on your little Christian defense blog, do you? I know people that used to debate on one side, now they're debating on the other side. "Deceit, malignity." What's that next one say? What's that doing in there? Help us when I have to... Hey, why are you lowering your voice, homie? In a list with that? What's the next one? You hear what the brother said? Almost stole my sermon this morning, old Joe. Backbiters. I'm trying to fight forward, and I got people biting my back, or you got people biting your back. Haters of God, deceitful, boasters? We don't do that. We don't go there. We don't wear that. We don't drink that. Not here. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. What's those sins doing in there? Could it be we rank sin? 2 Corinthians 12. Let's look at another little list. Help us. We're preaching on the sins we don't commit too much. I'm going to preach on the sins at that other church. Yeah. And I'll tell you why a lot of them leave and go to that other church with the sins that we commit again. Because they're not big in committing this one that I know of. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 20. "For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths." They're not punching each other with fists here. "Strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swelling, tumults." Unless this is, don't look at this Paul writing to the Corinthians. Look at this as God writing to us. "Lest when I come again, my God shall humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness." What are those doing in this list? And fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. I got thinking it was tongues that really crucified Jesus Christ. Pilate wouldn't have killed him. The Jews didn't kill him. Crucify him! I've been pastoring for 30 years, saved for almost 40. I've never seen a smoker split a church. I've never seen an addict split a church. Tongues split churches. So we need a Bible to get God's view on this thing. Now, I'm going to show you something in the Bible which we would all agree is a bad door. Go to Proverbs chapter 5, a bad door. Proverbs chapter 5. We having fun? All right. Proverbs chapter 5. I want you to notice the... We're talking about doors, right? I want you to notice the bad words and the bad results of this door. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and keep thy lip, and that thy keep that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips, isn't that interesting, of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood. That's bitter. Sharp as a two-edged sword. She looks good, but the end is bad. Her feet go down to where? Death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not where? Nigh the door of her. That's a bad door. Would you agree? Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years to the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou shalt mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to those that instructed me. And to that, all the good conservative Bible Baptists would say, amen, preacher. We ain't going to no whore's door this afternoon. In fact, we're not even going in person. We preach against it in the pictures and on the computer. In fact, we're so separated. Some of our young men are at a good door. The door of marriage, the door of engagement, the door of courting, the door of talking, whatever you want. And at that door, they won't even touch that girl at a good door. We don't do those doors. Bitter wormwood, sword, death, hell, flesh, and body consumed. No, sir. Proverbs 9. Verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. That's it, even if you've memorized the book of Proverbs. For she sitteth at the door of her what? House. On a seat in the high places of the city. Say the next two words. To call. Remember what the doors of that mouth is, it's those lips. And not only did those lips look good in 5, but now they're starting to open up and something's coming out. They say, well, men respond to what they see and women respond to what they hear. Don't count on it. Both respond to both. Now, let's read on. A foolish one will call passers by, read in their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither, stupid. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith, uh-oh, the doors is opening again. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And there's that Bible word again. But he knoweth not that the dead are there. The dead. There's one of them words again. And that her guests are in the depths of hell. I'm not going near that door. It might look good, but the word on it's got me too scared. Or does it? James chapter 3. Hebrews, then James chapter 3. Verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Not got anything to do with this sermon, but I'm the boss of this house, and I'm the boss of this church, and I'm the boss of this company. I'm the master. Well, just remember, pal, you get and have greater condemnation by God and men when you're overmuch. If God's given you a ministry or a family, keep your pride and arrogance off of it. Love them as much as you boss them. We'll get to that in another day. Chapter 3, verse 1. All right, watch. 2. For in many things we offend. And I like that word, off-end. We automatically think, well, somebody said something and it hurt my feelings. Off-end, an off-ended state, whatever. In many things we offend. Watch this promise. If any man offend not in word, the same is a what? And able to bridle the whole body. Now, as the one preacher said, I like the table, you can probably tell. That means given to appetite. I've often wondered, you know, I've struggled with weight all my life. We laugh about it and stuff, but really, man, since I was a kid, getting called fatso. And all my life I've struggled with it. And I've often read that passage and said, you know, I wonder if I never said a bad word again, if I never offended, and it's hard to do when you get paid to talk. I wonder if I could bridle that thing. I wonder if a little tongue taming wouldn't help struggles in the rest of the body. I wonder where your struggle is today. Your eyes? Your ears? Now remember, don't forget the whore's door, okay? Let's read on. Let's go, we'll jump over, we'll go to verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. That sounds familiar. I'm not flirting with that whore. But we'll flirt with that in public. The guy that goes to the whore, he goes in secret. The guy that looks at stuff he shouldn't be looking at, he don't do it in public in the living room. Yep. This thing is talking about a fire in this member. We wouldn't dare go to that whore's door. How can God make such a comparison? Same start, different end. How can this 2-ounce member, Pastor Grace used to preach on me, pull his tongue out. I don't like that. How can this 2-ounce member be compared, these doors, with that door we're talking about? You know what that Bible says? Life and death are in its power. Proverbs 18. The tongue separates chief friends. Proverbs 16. The tongue wounds spirits. Did you hear that, parents? The tongue wounds spirits. Proverbs 18. The tongue destroys marriages. The tongue destroys homes. Smoking doesn't destroy homes. A glass of, I'm not for it, but a glass of Aste Spumante with your spaghetti and meatballs doesn't destroy homes. Tongues destroy homes. Tongues embitter children. Tongues split churches. Tongues divide governments. Tongues start world wars. But we don't go to that whorehouse. For every preacher that was destroyed with adultery or porn or whatever it is, 100 were destroyed through discouragement because of tongues. How could he make the comparison? That's how. Tongues incite violence. Tongues incite riots. Tongues incite murder. That's the big thing. Now, you don't respect me. No wonder God says, if you don't offend in word, you're a perfect man. You see those wildfires in California? I mean, I know we ain't supposed to believe in climate change, but how about God's judgment? Can we believe in that? I mean, I'm old. I'm closer to 100 than I am to zero. And I spent every summer up to probably 17 years old in Canada, way up in Canada. Have you ever in your life seen wildfires in Canada that your eyes are burning in Hamlin? You see those news clips of those wildfires in California? I mean, I don't like winter. And we got our blizzards, but my house is still standing when they're over. God, you're making some kind of comparison here. I wonder what he sees around our kitchen tables and in our churches and on our screens and our texting and our telephones. I wonder. Preacher, you're getting kind of hot. I'm preaching to me. Raging out of control. Tongue sins come in many forms, man. The Bible's got them covered. Whispering, flattering, murmuring, gossiping, tale-bearing. Well, I wasn't lying. Yeah, I know you weren't lying. It's a tale. You're telling the truth, but you shouldn't be telling it. Joe, Camilleri, lying, boasting, cursing, backbiting, quarreling, but we don't go to that whorehouse. We don't. I'm going to tell you a big problem with this member. Verse 8 of James 3. Very, very discouraging. But the tongue can no man tame. It is. Amen. Is that promise on your 365 promises for the year? It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith, bless we God! And we can't get out of the service before we're cursing man. Oh, I don't want to say this. Why? Because I'm preaching to myself. You know what he said in Exodus chapter 22, verse 28? Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But he deserves it. Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people.
That's Old Testament law, Jews in the tribulation.
And Paul repeated it in the book of Acts. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. And we can't get out the door. We can't get in the door. But they deserve it. I know. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm with you. 18 hours a day, man, ungodly men railing on the rulers of the people. And I'm glad for it. Misery loves company. I got a public voice somewhere, but oh. So is it a lost cause? You can't tame it, man. It's a fire. These doors are just like going to the doors of that whore, and you know what? You cannot tame it. So how do you tame your tongue? Well, number one is, we've already given you the first point, you see it the way God sees it. You see tongue sin the way God sees it. That's a great start. I wouldn't dream of saying, I think I'll go down to Lyle Avenue this afternoon. Oh, that's where the women of ill repute are. I wouldn't think of it. But I got probably 30 people coming to my house today. And you know what will probably happen? The doorbell's going to ring. And I'm not talking about the one in my front door. The doorbell's going to ring. And something's going to ring inside this thing. And those doors are going to say, open up, man. Open. In public, no less. You're comparing this sin with that sin. And we commit it in public. In the name of God and righteousness. You imagine a church, a family, a world without this? You'll be in heaven. You're going to see it like God sees it. And then I want to show you this. There's hope. Psalm 141. Doesn't it feel good to just backbite people, keep me up on my throne, how good we do it, how right I am? I ain't like that guy. Psalm 141. Verse 3. Watch this. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me. Psalm 141, verse 3. Verse 2. Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. And look at what the prayer of incense. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. You cannot tame it. I cannot tame it. But there is a doorkeeper. And your beast won't be the first beast that he's ever tamed. You got to ask help for him. That's what the psalmist did. Keep my tongue. You're going to hear something today. Can you believe it? Just start saying, yeah, I can believe it. Look closely. Keep the door, he told the doorkeeper. He didn't say, shut the door. He didn't say, lock the door. He said, Lord, keep the door. Remember, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the doorkeeper is the one that controls the door. Who comes, who goes, what comes in, what goes out. He doesn't just shut the door. Listen, words aren't all bad. Our Savior is the Word. With the words we bless God and man, with the words we teach and sing, beautiful words, wonderful. Our message from God is made up of words. Our worship is full of words. So you know what that tells you we need? Replacement theology. You don't just shut up and wire your jaws. This is heavy. Say good things. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. I'll tell you what our children need. They need edifying. Jason, you nailed it Wednesday night, man. Oh, you know, if you go out with your girlfriend, you're going to end up just like me and your father did. How'd you like to be part of that group? Talk about a one percenter that goes to that marriage aisle pure before God. Same story. Words hurt, man. A wounded spirit, who can bear? And I got first-hand experience. Man, that old school, they wasn't big on praising you 10 times a day for every one time they tell you, you're stupid. I can't tame my tongue. But I can view it and see it how God sees it, and that's going to help me. And then I can ask the doorkeeper, if I can see that door, these doors, as the same as the whore's door, then I'm going to ask the doorkeeper to keep it, and then I'm going to note the source of the beast, because the beast does not act independently. Psalm 17. Finishing up, Psalm 17. We ain't doing that Christian rock music. Awesome. Stop. Right there. Like that other church does. You just went from God to Satan. I think. You just went from right to a Pharisee. I thank thee that I'm not as other churches are. And I'm the worst offender, man. It took us about 4 years to realize, you know what? We got enough hell sin around here to keep hell aflame for a millennium. Never mind what they're doing somewhere else. Psalm 17:3. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. He said, listen, this is connected. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. This is what you got to get. I can't tame my tongue. Yeah, but you can work on this here. And you can ask him to work on this here. And you can ask him to work on this here. And when we begin to see that door the same way we see the whore's door, we might be half as good as we think we are. 19, Psalm 19. Help us, Jesus. Verse 14, one of Pastor's favorites. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, the meditation, be acceptable. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. How are you going to do it? You've got to see it the way he sees it. You've got to ask him for help. You've got to see that what's coming out of here is coming from here. And then lastly, if you're going to get the victory over this, imagine our church in a year from now. Commit to the battle for just one day. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take
thought for the things of itself. Sufficient today is the evil thereof. Run over to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Help me, Jesus. Verse 14. I'm sorry, Numbers 11. This is Moses. He's having a hard time. I got a note in there. What a preacher's prayer. And this is not the context, but the application is surely practical. Look what Moses says. I am not able to bear all this people alone. Watch it. Because it is too heavy for me. If I could see tongue sin like sexual sin, that'd be a great start. But I'll probably have to see it that way, purpose to see it that way again tomorrow. Today I'm going to ask you to keep my lips, keep the doors of my lips, but I've been around this thing too long to know that I better do it again tomorrow. That was great, Pastor, what you preached last week, that constant communion. I made a mistake this morning. I Googled the height and weight chart. Talk about you want to get depressed. The highest it goes to, Jason, I'm not pointing you out. The highest it goes to, listen, when I call your name, that's because you're on me. How come you call me when you talk about fat people? You know what I mean? The highest height it goes to is 6'6". And I am well beyond the weight. So according to the height and weight chart, I should be what, 6'11"? So I either got to stretch or lose a person. And I'll be honest, no pun intended. Looking at where you're at. Now, if you're skinny and eat a cheese sandwich like Eric and a glass of Coke for lunch, you don't understand what I'm talking about. But when you look at the Lose It app and say, what is your goal? You know, in 2090, you'll reach your goal at a pound of that. You know what it is? To look at the long run, it's too heavy. You've got some addictions that are decades in the making. You can't look at, I'm going to get victory. You can get victory today.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I look at myself in the mirror and I'll say, Fatso, can you go for 5 days? You're a preacher, man. You got God in you. You got faith. You got trust. He's in you. Can you go 5 days taking in less than you put out?
I can't do it.
It's too heavy, man. And by the way, that's going to be like throwing a lawn chair off the Titanic. What difference is that going to make? But I did it Monday. And I did it Tuesday. I didn't do it this week, but I did it Wednesday. And I did it Thursday. And I did it again Friday. And I did it again Saturday.
You're going to try to control this member that's been like the doorstep of a whorehouse for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. There's only one way you're going to do it. Paul said, I die daily. Choose you this whom he will serve every day. Now here's the invitation. I think we can do it. One day. If you're like me, you've got about 9 hours before you go to bed. Would you, church, commit with me for 9 hours not to offend in word? I think we can do it. And maybe if we get by, because if you're saying, I ain't saying nothing about nobody no more, forget about it, you ain't going to make it. But you can make it today. Let's stand. I'm not going to whisper. I'm not going to backbite. I'm not going to speak evil of the ruler of thy people. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to slander. I'm not going to quarrel. I'm not going to be sarcastic. For 9 hours, would you join me? Jason, what number?
292.
292. God help every one of us. Let's help each other. Amen.